Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
All right, so we're on the heels of talking about the big immigration mess that we spent the whole day with yesterday on the show. And now we're going to change the directions. It's always, and if you've listened to Call to Action Radio for any amount of time, you know I'm kind of like this. We talk about these things and we get exercised about these things, and most of the time I would say we should. But the real question that comes out of all of that is, what do we do with it? How do you respond? You can throw things at the TV. You can turn the volume up or down. You can kick the dog. You can kick the cat, which is preferable. But you got to react, okay? So it's not just we get exercised, we get emotional, we vote this way, we vote that way. But especially if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the question that gets on the table is always going to be, what are you doing? And it reminds me of what Jesus was talking about in Matthew, and he's talking about, hey, you know, when I was in jail and when I had something, didn't have anything to eat, and when I was thirsty, where were you guys? And they're like, what are you talking about? And he said, whatever you did for the least of these, you did also for me. Or you didn't do for the least of these, then you didn't do for me. So when we talk about the refugee deal yesterday and bringing them here or keeping them there, it also should soften your heart a little bit to the whole issue of people that are broken, people that are struggling, people that don't have the regular lifestyle that most of us do in America, and particularly when it comes to orphans. And orphans is a massive problem, 153 million orphans. As we just dig into the numbers, that you'll see the massive size of this problem. So what do you do about that? Should you do anything about it? I think the reality is, for a Christian, you're not called to solve the world's problems. You are held responsible for what God puts on your radar screen. So that's the danger that you face today as you come to Call to Action Radio any day of the week. Is I'm going to put a lot of stuff, thank you, Lord, on your radar screen. And then the question becomes, what do you do with that? Now I'm not never saying, nor would I say, that every single thing that comes up, you have to get involved with. None of us have the time or the resources to do that. At least most of us don't. But every once in a while, when the Holy Spirit is on you and you're listening to a story or finding out about a ministry and an organization, and you're like, man, there's just something about that touches your heart. Okay, now you're in the batter's box. And God has handed you a bat, and the ball is low and hanging over home plate, and you got to decide what to do with it. I hope and pray that that's what will happen today. As we talk to Cindy Finley and Martha Ciccione Cameron, who are in the studio with me today, we're going to talk about River Cross, an amazing ministry organization dealing with orphans, but in a slightly different way than you might assume when you hear about orphan care. But Cindy and Martha, welcome to Call to Action.
Yeah, thanks for having us
here,
Steve.
Thanks for having us, Steve.
You're very welcome. It's great to have you here. And we'll start, Cindy, we'll start with you. You're the Global Ministry Director, and then we'll get to Martha, who's the African Ministry Director, and you'll figure this out soon enough that Martha is definitely not born in the United States, definitely not born in the South, because she's got a really cool voice, and Cindy and I just sound like, well, Americans.
That's
so
right.
We're going to lean on Martha for that, because that's totally cool. But tell us just a little bit, Cindy, about River Cross, about the organization, and how you got involved.
Yeah, so River Cross, our focus is orphans and vulnerable children. And that is what our target is. We care most and foremost about the children themselves. And these are kids who have been orphaned, but also have been abused, exploited, trafficked, are refugees, any of these vulnerable children around the world. So that's our target. And then what we're trying to help them with really are their deepest heart issues. There are lots of organizations that are dealing with shelter and education and clothing and food, and all those things are so important.
Yeah.
But with River Cross, what we're really trying to do is get to the heart. These children have been through horrific things, just the list that I shared with you. They've been through horrific things. And so what we're doing is we're working to mend their hearts. We're working to see them healed from the trauma that they have experienced, and ultimately to be introduced to Jesus Christ. Yeah. And that's the name River Cross, that what we're trying to do is actually build bridges of hope for the world's vulnerable children.
Because I guarantee you, with the number of people that are either watching on Facebook and especially listening on the radio, there's people out there that have gone through abusive situations. They've
right.
been traumatized themselves. So you can house an orphan, you can feed an orphan, you can clothe an orphan, you can educate an orphan, But if you never deal with the problems that are in their heart as a result of, and let's face it, most orphans by definition come out of a traumatized past.
Exactly.
Then you're not exactly crossing the finish line, are you?
No, you're not at all. And it happens in Ukraine, which our youngest daughter was born in Ukraine, that when these kids graduate at 15 or 16 from the orphanages, the statistics say that as many as 70% of the girls end up in prostitution, wow, which is just a code word for trafficking.
Yeah, yeah.
And then 80% of the boys end up in jail. And so their heart needs have not been addressed to prepare them, yeah, for the world after
that. So how did this nice American pastor's wife get involved with something like River Cross?
Well, in 2008, my husband Bill and I, we traveled to Ukraine and we were doing marriage conferences around Ukraine. And I was staying at the home of this precious Ukrainian woman named Albina. And she was sending us out every day to do all sorts of ministry. And every time we would come home, she herself was taking in addicts and helping them in recovery. And she was preparing food for us. And I came in one night after having been out doing marriage conferences, and there was this pot on the stove, and Albina was standing at the stove, and it smelled so good. And I said, "Albina, what are you cooking?" Well, she said to me, "Steve," she said, "Cindy, I'm fixing chicken soup." And I said, "Well, it just smells wonderful." And she said, "Yes." And very matter-of-factly, she said, "Cindy, I'm fixing it for my neighbor. And my neighbor is dying of bowel disease.
Wow.
But she likes my soup." And I said, now remember, I've seen her just pouring herself out to while we've, yeah, been there. And I said, "Albina, you can't do." And I took a breath, and I think it was a holy pause. And I was about to say, "You can't do everything."
Everything,
right?
Sure.
And so I said, "You can't do," and I took a pause, and she turned around, and she had this look of steel velvet in her eyes, and she had that wooden spoon in her hand, and she says, "Nothing. Cindy, I know. We can't do nothing."
Yeah.
And for me, Steve, that was a paradigm shift.
Yeah.
That no longer would I look at the 153 million and say, "I can't do anything, so I'll do nothing." Instead, I said, I "What will I do?"
Yeah, what will I do?
What will I do? I can't do nothing.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, I mean, River Cross is there, and what happens next? A great part of Cindy's story. Then we'll talk about, we'll talk to Martha. She's got a very personal story on this issue. And then what is River Cross? How does it operate? And then most importantly today, what can you do to get involved? Really an amazing opportunity, an amazing story of God's grace and His provision. This is Steve Noble with Call to Action. We'll be right back.
Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord.
Welcome back to Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Today talking about a very important topic. No, not refugees, but it is related to the refugee issue. The question for us, especially if you're a Christ follower, what can I do to help alleviate some of the suffering around the world? Today we're talking specifically about the orphan situation. And we're talking to Cindy Finley, who's the Global Ministry Director of River Cross, as well as Martha's here with us. She's the African Ministry Director. You'll hear a little bit about Martha's story in a minute. And this isn't the normal kind of house them and feed them and clothe them. River Cross goes to the heart issue, which for most orphans is trauma and the things that they've come through. And how do you not only care for somebody that's been traumatized, but how do you help them find healing and come out of that? And which for River Cross is through the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the gospel and the teachings of Scripture to love people where they're at and to deal with that trauma that exists in virtually every orphan's life. So it's not the normal thing we would think of, which is awesome. And Cindy, you mentioned this earlier, there's great organizations all around the world dealing,
absolutely,
with that, and praise the Lord for it. But this is kind of a part of the process that's been overlooked a lot, hasn't it?
It has. It has. It's been overlooked a lot. And so what we have the privilege of doing is collaborating and partnering with other organizations who are doing that very good work. And we just come alongside.
Yeah. And then for your involvement in River Cross, when did that start for you personally?
For me personally, that I was brought on first as a development consultant in 2014, and God very quickly stirred my heart and demonstrated to me that He'd been preparing me for this. The founder, Susan Von Olszewski, was looking for a successor, and I went to Zambia, and it was there that I first saw the work of River Cross, and I was on the ground with the kids and with the caregivers, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "Cindy, this is where I want you to, yeah, invest your life."
Yeah, all of a sudden the rubber hits the road.
Yeah.
And then the question is simple, either yes or no. You're going to obey or you're not. Well, introduce us to Martha, because I'm really excited for people to hear Martha's story.
Well, I am too. And Martha is my colleague. She is our Africa ministry director. She's my sister in Christ, but she truly is my dear friend. And so it is my honor and my joy to introduce you to Martha Sichone Cameron.
Martha, welcome to the show.
It's so good to be here.
Get a little closer to the microphone. You have a nice, soft voice. tell us about, because you obviously didn't grow up here in America, and it's so great to have you here, and thank you for joining us today. But tell us a little bit about your background, Martha, where you grew up, and how you encountered the world of orphans.
Yes, I was born in Zambia, a little town called Kitwe. And by the time I was six, I had lost my father. And a few years later, my country, which is in sub-Saharan Africa, for those that may not know where Zambia is, was hit by the HIV/AIDS epidemic, in which, we were told one out of every five people in our country had AIDS. I lost more than half of my family. I mean, I saw cousins, aunts and uncles just get wiped out. And I eventually lost my mother when I was about 22, and being the oldest, became the guardian of my orphan brothers and sisters.
And how many siblings did you have?
I had four siblings, but we had taken on about three or four others because of the epidemic. So some from the street, some were relatives. And so I took over this family and technically was supposed to get married. Unfortunately, I didn't. And as a result of a relationship that was supposed to be leading to marriage, I ended up contracting the HIV virus myself. But all of this, Steve, I felt like God used in my life because I ended up working for a ministry that took care of orphans. Mm-hmm. And so he used my life and my testimony. I worked with a ministry called Every Orphan's Hope. And we did kind of like what we're talking about. At that point, when children have nowhere to go and families are just overburdened with these children, mostly grandmothers, because like my generation of parents is gone.
Wow.
There's nobody my age, very few people my age who might still have their parents. And so we worked with this ministry where we just rescued these children and gave them love and care and clothing and tried to get them into school.
What was, looking back at those years when you were first helping your mom and then when it was just you, what was the most difficult thing about dealing with that? And then as you look back on it now, what was the best thing?
I think, seeing my mother just struggle as a single mother. And especially in a culture that relies so heavily on men being heads of households, and just knowing that I didn't have a dad, it was very, very hard to deal with that growing up. But I can look back on that now and say, well, you know what? God strengthened me. You know, there's a verse, I believe it's in Romans, that just talks about building character and perseverance.
Yep.
I just feel like I would have not been the person that I am, but I would have certainly not made it through those years, I believe, without the help of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Amen. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 talks about comforting others with the comfort that you receive from God yourself.
That's right.
So all of a sudden you become a steward of affliction at first and the difficult days that he allowed for you to go through.
Right.
But then there, on the other side of that, there's just like soapstone in Africa starts off looking kind of rough. Then after a while, it's this beautiful thing that Americans pay a lot of money for.
Yeah.
So it's turned into something beautiful, which is wonderful. How did you find out about River Cross? And then how did you end up in America?
So Cindy and the team that first came to Zambia identified Every Orphan's Hope as one of those ministries that they could come alongside because obviously this was a gap. And we could see it in the children. The children were well taken care of.
When you say gap, what do you mean by that?
So We're talking about dealing with the trauma in children's lives. And I believe we had taken care of the physical needs, which was really critical at that time. Yeah. But you could see that these children still struggled with issues. You could see it in their personalities. You could see it in some of, how they were withdrawn. And when we heard about River Cross, it was God just saying, this is what you need in the lives of these children in order to bring forth that healing to a completeness. And it was pretty amazing. Cindy and the team came, they shared their curriculum, and I just remember some of the stories that came out of the caregivers that participated, just knowing that this was really, really important.
Yeah. And then when did you come to America? And why? I'm not asking that as like Mr. Don't Let People In. I'm just curious why you came to America.
So my husband would say he brought me back as a souvenir. He came on a short-term mission trip to help out with the orphanage. And we got married and he brought me back here. But I know that soon enough we'll end up back on the mission field.
Yeah, so exciting. And then having somebody on the ground over there, Cindy, how important is this to the ministry in terms of people that know it, live it, have been there, done that?
Well, it's absolutely critical, and it is truly the Lord who brought Martha first to the U.S. and then down to Raleigh. And so we're so grateful for that. But one of our core values is that we are culture honoring. And so we really believe that we will better serve the children by having nationals engaged with the children than simply taking up an army of Westerners to go over and try to interpret culture and do all that. So it's much better to say we've got this beautiful resource in the national community and the caregivers, church leaders,
train and enable the people that are there to help their own fellow citizens. And we're going to talk about that. How does that happen? What about auditory learning? We learn by seeing things in America, but over there you got to hear it. You'll hear some of that when we come back. Back at Steve Noble Call to Action Radio. One of my guests, Cindy Finley, is old enough to know to recognize that song, right? Love Isn't Always on Time by Toto.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right? Martha, no. Because you're younger than us, right? We'll just leave it at that. I actually have no interest in knowing how young you are. Because I'm enjoying our time together. It's going really well. I appreciate you guys. God is moving. But if I all of a sudden find out how young you are, I may begin to covet. And that would be a sin. And I just don't want to go there. Welcome back. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, talking about River Cross today, an incredible organization, a great ministry that God is using, dealing with orphans and the massive orphan problem around the world. The numbers are incredible and daunting as we consider the fact 153 million orphans and vulnerable children in the world at any given time, right, Cindy?
Yeah.
That's just the deal.
Yeah.
That's how many there are. And then River Cross, which is helping to train orphan caregivers because trauma is a big problem for orphans. So you can clothe them, you can feed them, you can house them, you can educate them, but most of them dealing with trauma in their lives. And if you don't deal with that, if you don't get to the heart and kind of overcome that, then like you said earlier, Cindy, the numbers are overwhelming how many of them kind of end up in a bad place, even once they're done being an orphan.
That's exactly right.
And so tell us about the training method, because it's different. We're used to videos and TED Talks and all that kind of stuff over here in America. But over there, it's a lot different.
Well, it is a lot different. And actually, Steve, 80% of the world live in story-centric cultures. And what that means is that stories are their modality for learning. So they learn best through songs, through stories, through parables, through fables, whereas we may have straightforward, this is a fact, you learn it kind of teaching.
Right.
That's not the way that most of the world...
We learn with our eyes and our ears.
Yeah.
But over there, just the ears.
Yeah, and it's through generations of sitting around the campfire, telling stories, and that's the way genealogies, histories, codes for conduct are passed down. And so instead of saying, we want to change the way that that 80% of the world learns and we want to change that, what we're doing is saying, let's harness the power of a really good story and let's embed it with biblical truth and trauma healing and best practices of orphan care, and then let's have the caregivers listen and then discuss it and apply it to their lives.
So let's set up. We've got three clips from the series, Holding Esther. So to explain to us kind of what you're trying to get across here, and then once you hear these clips, we've got three of them, which kind of take you through the whole story of dealing with this trauma and the caregivers and the problem that can be existing there with adults that are doing the wrong thing. Set it up, and then we'll listen to the first part.
Okay, so Holding Esther is 7 episodes long, and this is jumping into the 3rd episode. Sarah and Esther are 2 girls who have been orphaned. They are sent to live with an aunt and an uncle, which is a very common thing. And there, they're abused. They're exploited. One of the girls, her virginity is actually sold. And then in the process of that, they run away to the urban area, which is what runaways do here in America as well. And so they run away to the urban area. Eventually, they get to a safe house, to a shelter that's run by a woman named Maria. You're going to hear Maria. And while they're in the safe house, there is a carpenter, and his name is Mwango. And so that's the very first clip that we're going
to
hear.
So we're going to listen to this, and I'm talking to Cindy Finley and Martha Ciccione Cameron from River Cross, and we're just kind of unpacking what this ministry is doing and helping caregivers, orphan caregivers around the world. The first clip here from the Holding Esther series, and this is the way that they learn, most people learn around the world, is to hear it, an audio drama, if you're old enough to remember what that means. Check this out.
Hello, Mwango.
Hello, beautiful. I'm glad you answered the door. I brought you something else.
Another gift.
Here. A clip for your hair.
Oh, shiny. So beautiful.
Just like you. We should go upstairs so you can try it on in front of the mirror.
Okay.
Let's go before anyone knows I'm here.
All right. Come on. There's a mirror in this room.
Let's keep our voices down.
What's going on here? What are you doing?
I'm just here to fix some things.
We made it very clear from the beginning, Mr. Mwango. You're not to be near the girls.
Sorry, madam.
Don't be mad, Miss Maria. He's really nice. He just gave me this pretty hair clip and we were going to see how it looked.
Mr. Mwango, I'd like to see you in my office, downstairs. Sarah, would you please help the other girls with lunch?
So in this clip, I just want to stop it there. You know, to my ears, to an adult's ears, you're kind of like, I don't know if Mr. Mwango is such a good guy.
Yeah.
But to a child's ears and in that situation, he's just a nice guy that's complimenting her. He's bringing her a gift and he's making her feel good.
That's right. That's right. He's grooming her. And that's the we develop a vocabulary so that these caregivers and community leaders have a common vocabulary. So he's grooming her for exploitation.
Right. And then the next part, now he's going to get kind of dealt with by the lady who's in charge of the home.
Maria.
So this is kind of what you're trying to get the caregivers to understand. Okay, you got to deal with stuff like
that.
That's
exactly right.
Okay, let's check this clip out.
You went against the rules of the house. We clearly discussed these boundaries before you were hired. You were told never to approach any of the girls in private.
Just trying to be nice to the girl.
We have rules to protect the children, and you broke them. You will no longer be allowed on this property. Ever. Do you understand that?
Yes, madam.
I'm writing up a report of the event. Now, please leave.
Lunch is ready. Oh, Mwango, maybe you could join us. I help make the sandwiches.
I can't now, sweetheart.
Goodbye. And remember what I told you.
I will.
Yeah, so this is she gets firm.
Yeah, she does.
And no strike two, strike three.
That's right. He knows the rules and he's out of there. So, you know, we're setting up so that caregivers have an understanding of best practices. And so you need to have policy in place and then you need to enforce that policy.
Now for you, Martha, being around it and as you were, because you've been there when people on the ground there in Zambia have been listening to these.
Yes.
Does it make perfect sense to them because they've seen this, they've lived it, they know what they're listening to?
I mean, right from episode one, I mean, you see mothers clutching their stomachs in some of those painful situations that the girls are in. You see them shaking their heads, but it's the discussion that follows after the episodes that just brings out all these experiences that they've had, people that they've known, children that have been through these things, and maybe they never handled it the right way or did not know what to do.
Yeah.
It's really critical.
Now, in this last clip that I'm going to play, this is now. So now the little girl comes back into the scene because right. Mwango's been ushered out.
Yep.
And listen to this, because this is a very important turn that happens here, and I think this is common with children and with a lot of people as to where do you place the blame when you have this situation? Because she liked him; he was being nice to her, but the adult's saying, "No, he's out of here." But listen to how the little girl responds.
Why did he leave so quickly? He didn't even fix the porch steps yet.
We'll hire someone else. Mwango won't be back.
But why?
Sarah, I don't trust that man. He didn't obey our rules for visitors.
But they're just stupid rules.
I believe he was trying to get close to you so he could take advantage of you.
I liked him. He was nice. And he said sweet things to me. This is my fault.
No. No, it's not your fault. It's his fault.
I shouldn't have said anything about the hair clip. He told me not to.
You did the right thing. Adults shouldn't ask you to keep secrets like
but
that.
But he was the only person who really cared about me. And because of me, you fired him.
No.
I hate you.
Sarah, let's talk about
Leave
this.
Leave me alone.
Oh, please.
I hate you.
Yeah, so obviously a very difficult situation when all of a sudden the girl all of a sudden wants to blame herself.
That's right.
And then she says she hates the woman that's trying to protect her.
Yep.
And it sounds like just an audio drama, something we might see on television, but this is real life. This actually happens, doesn't it?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And in our culture, too, it happens within the families, too. Remember, these kids have lost parents, and they're people who are trying to be nice to them for ulterior motives. They're also people that do these things to them, and because they feel obliged, they keep the secret, and they don't tell anyone. And so you hear that come in a lot in the discussions and just some of the gender norms that we have, some of our cultural practices that, you know, actually prohibit the children from doing this. And I think it has really been time that the church came together around these discussions and started building up the capacity of the caregivers to help. So
now with the audio drama, Cindy, you know, obviously it's pointing out, okay, you've got a man, or in some cases, I'm sure it's a woman.
Right.
Who's taking advantage? Now you got a whole problem here. But does the Holding Esther series and the audio drama training then go on to talk about, okay, how do we deal with this girl that doesn't really realize what happened? She's being taken advantage of. Now she hates the woman that's trying to care for her. Does it then roll into how do you minister to that child?
Oh, absolutely. And you can actually listen to the whole audio drama and hear how that story rolls out. But yes, that's the goal. And what's great about it is it's not this clean, nice, quick kind of a thing. It's very messy, it's very rough, and it's real. And so, yes, that's one of the, we have experts from around the world in trauma healing who gave us their best practices, gave us what to expect, and then it was that core content that was embedded into the story.
So in this case, there's how many episodes?
Seven episodes.
So you kind of go through the whole, from the genesis all the way through the conclusion, and then healing and help all the way through.
Well, it doesn't wrap up so nice and neat, but you'll have to listen to it.
We'll do that when we talk about the website. We'll talk about what's coming up and the help that they need and the opportunities that are there for all of us to consider. This is Steve Noble with Call to Action Radio talking to Cindy Finley and Martha Ciccione Cameron about Rivercross. We'll be right back. But all it does is take in one shot. It does all the little stuff that you would normally see in a production. That's all digital.
That's crazy.
It's just manipulating the image.
Yeah.
So you zoom in. All it's doing is kind of shrinking what you see.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like a camera that's zooming in, but it's a camera that never moves.
Mm-hmm.
It just sits there. Mm-hmm. And you operate it off of an iPhone. Or an iPhone. Huh. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble talking over the intro because I was so busy talking to Cindy and Martha that I'm like, oh, yeah, we're on the air. Okay, that happens every once in a while. I'm a semi-professional. Professional most of the time, but occasionally a mistake, which is what just happened. We're talking about Rivercross, an incredible ministry that is equipping orphan care people. So it's not the housing, the feeding, the clothing of orphans. It works with the organizations that do that and then trains them on how to deal with one of the things that's most common amongst all orphans and one of the most difficult bridges that they have to get over, which is dealing with all the trauma, which is a normal part of being an orphan in the first place. So Cindy Finley's here with us and Martha Ciccione Cameron who are both with River Cross. That website, by the way, rivercrosstwr.org, rivercrosstwr.org. A great introductory video there, all kinds of information, and we're going to talk a little bit here about how you can get involved and what the needs are right now and kind of what are the next steps. But Martha, you've mentioned this several times on and off the air. Mm-hmm. About the dialogue. So Cindy and Martha, explain to us, you know, how does the audio drama get used when you're training the caregivers? What does that process look like? And then Martha, I know you want to talk about the conversations that result as people listen to these.
Right. So, you know, the dialogue that follows, first of all, is important because it's the first time it's taking place ever. These women, some of them came up to us and said, and these are women in their 50s, 60s who had traumatic situations in their life.
Wow.
I had never had an opportunity to talk about it. It's an opportunity to hold each other accountable in some of our practices and so on. But then after that, there's the application. What do we do? And we discuss that. We discuss some of the biblical principles that have come out, and people leave with a tool. In essence, that they can go and use with their children.
Yeah, so they're being ministered to personally.
Personally mm-hmm. as well.
Plus, they're learning how to deal with the orphans that they're caring
That's
for
right.
really on a daily basis. So, Cindy, what does that process look like? Is it like a little conference, a symposium? What is it?
Well, they'll come together, and it could be a group of, we had a group of 100 the last time we were in Zambia, but it could be a group of 10, or it could be a group of 8, or it could be a group of 3 that just gather with a trained facilitator and listen to the audio dramas. One of the things that was so neat with the scenes that you just heard, the caregivers listen to that. They talk about best practices. And then the caregivers went back to their children's home, to their shelter. They shared this story that you heard with the children there. And one of the girls, she raised her hand and she went to one of the caregivers and she said, "What you just talked about is happening to me, that there's a man named," and she shared his name, "who is abusing," and this is a direct quote from the caregiver, "abusing me many times and in many ways and has threatened to kill me if I tell anybody. But," she said, "because of holding Esther, I now have the courage to tell, to disclose the matter," is what the caregiver said. And so they chased that man out of the orphanage.
Oh,
and they say this saved the life of the child.
Yeah, because that's the reality. And,
and
that's not one case. That's probably the norm.
That's right. That's right. So they listen to the story. They discuss it, as Martha shared. They go back. They may tell the story to the children, and they talk about it, and then they begin to apply the principles within their setting.
We're talking to Cindy and Martha from River Cross. RiverCrossTWR.org is the website where I want you to get to. I'm putting the links are already up on Facebook. I'll throw it out there on Twitter at Steve Noble Radio. So you can go check that out, and a great introductory video. But also, what's going on next in the ministry? Because I know with the Holding Esther series, you were hearing back from some folks that there was a logical next step to take. And I know that's going to bring us to what we need to discuss here at the end of the show.
Yeah. So we leave, Martha and I leave in just a few weeks. Martha heads to Zambia first, and then I'll join her a little bit after that. And we're going to be training facilitators and coordinators while we're over there to get the boots on the ground. And then we're going to be meeting with TWR's Africa Leadership Team.
That's Trans World Radio.
Yep. Trans World Radio, Africa Leadership Team, to talk about our mass media strategy for English-speaking African countries as well. But with one of our core values being culture honoring, we want to hear the needs that arise from the field and not just us saying, oh, this is an issue. We need to deal with this. And so one of the things we have heard consistently is, as great as this story is, it is for a mature audience. We're dealing with mature issues. It's not something, if you have small children around, listen to it, but get them busy doing something
else. And you wouldn't listen to it with your orphans,
no,
the younger ones.
Exactly. No. But they said, we want a story like this to listen to with our children. So just a week and a half ago, we had our writers who have done lots of episodes for Adventures in Odyssey, Kathy Buchanan, Marshall
Focus
Younger.
Focus on the Family, that audio drama they had for kids.
That's right. And so our writers are senior writers for them as well.
Wow.
So they were here with us in the lodge over here in Cary, and we had a whiteboard session of mapping out 8 pilot episodes of an audio drama directly for the child. And if you're familiar with Adventures in Odyssey, what we're doing is taking the Wit character is now an indigenous caregiver named Naomi. And so she becomes the wisdom there. And then we're creating a place where our, instead of Connie and Eugene, they're kids who have been trafficked, who are child soldiers, who have experienced horrific things. And they are the main characters of our stories.
And then that you'll start to use this with the orphans themselves,
right.
Plus their caregivers.
That's right. That's right.
Wow, that's pretty exciting.
So we're doing 8 pilot episodes. Another thing that we do is we always do testing. So we want to make sure people are giving to this, people are supporting us financially, that we're doing what we say that we're doing. So we always have testing that goes along with it. So we'll do 8 pilot episodes, test it out on the field, and then you know, see what the Lord does from there. So,
and how can people that are listening or watching on Facebook get involved? What are the needs?
Well, the needs are we have enough funding to get us through the script writing process of this child drama. We need another $80,000 to get us through production for these pilot episodes. So, and that will get us over the top.
And what's the timing on all of it?
Well, the episodes are going to be finished. The script writing process will be done by the end of the summer, and we'd like to go to production in September.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So moving right along.
Yep.
But the $80,000 really to get it all the way across the finish line so that we can get it into the hands of the orphan caregivers as well as children.
That's exactly right.
So how can people get involved? I mean, we mentioned the website, rivercrosstwr.org. And what are the different ways? So financially?
Yep. So financially. So we look at 5 different ways of getting people involved. Giving, obviously. Serving. So we've got volunteers who are doing all sorts of things for us. So serving. Sharing. We're building out an ambassador program of people who want to share about the ministry with their friends and their sphere of influence. Learning. And where you just say, I want to learn about this cause. And I want to, so that's, we consider that a means of being involved. And then praying. Prayer is absolutely essential. It's not something we just put on the top.
Yeah.
But we prayed a lot for this. We pray for God to give us the strategy. And so people to pray.
Yeah, so a lot of different entry points for people to get involved. And typically with most things, the more you find out about it, the more it cements your heart to the cause. And then you start to get involved. And even if it's just in a prayer thing, there's always a blessing in obedience.
Yeah.
Regardless of what the obedience is.
Because we can't do nothing.
That's right. Just like you said at the beginning of the show, which you heard from, what was her name?
Albina.
Albina, you can't do nothing. What a powerful reminder for all of us. So they can go to the website. Plus, there's a Facebook page, right?
That's right.
So River Cross has a Facebook page.
Right.
And then rivercrosstwr.org. $80,000 to cross the finish line to complete production.
Correct.
And what's the next series called again?
Well, I'm not going to let that cat out of the bag yet. Yeah.
And then Martha, what's your hope? What are your dreams? What are your prayers? For River Cross and what you guys are working on?
Well, because of the impact that I've seen this have on the children in Zambia, this needs to go all over the world as well. It's replicable. It's so easy. The dramas are online, but people locally in the different countries are also going to need support, whether it's in working with a local church or another ministry that is already there that can take this drama and support local facilitators, help have these discussions.
Yeah.
I would like to see this touch many, many more lives.
So starting right now, Cindy, it's English-speaking areas.
Right.
But then are there some talks in the future in terms of different languages?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's one of the beautiful things about our relationship with TWR. So easily translatable into Zulu, into African French. Those are probably our first target languages. There's a lot of interest in Southeast Asia, as you would imagine.
Oh, man, yeah.
And so we're talking about a contextualization for Thailand, Cambodia, Philippines. And there's also a tremendous amount of interest in Eastern Europe as well, Moldova, Ukraine, etc., where trafficking is such a hot issue. And so we're talking about that too. Brazil is asking for it with such a strong street kid issue.
Were you surprised to find out that there was this big kind of hole in the care environment for orphans that we deal with all the other physical needs, which is awesome and needed?
Yeah.
But that nobody was really, or not many people, dealing with how do you effectively manage the trauma and meet them where they're at, deal with it in the first place?
Yeah.
To equip people on how to deal with it, but then the healing afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a tremendous gap, and we are honored to be in that space. Yeah.
So holding Esther. And then Esther, of course, for such a time as this.
That's right.
Which
That's
obviously right. it's all of a sudden people are seeing, okay, now we're going to have a tool to use with for it. So Martha, what would you say to people that are listening to us right now in terms of involvement? What would your invitation to them be?
Well, please go to the website, listen to those episodes, and then just pray and listen to how the Holy Spirit would use you.
Cindy, how about you?
I couldn't say it better than Martha did. Get to the website, check us out. You can contact me directly from the website as well.
Okay, awesome. RiverCrossTWR.org is the website. RiverCrossTWR.org, or you can find them on Facebook. They have a page there under River Cross as well. And I put all the links up at my Facebook page, and I'll put it on Twitter as well, at Steve Noble Radio. Cindy and Martha, it's such a blessing to have you guys here today. Thanks for coming in and sharing with us.
Thank you.
And on the other side of the trips, and as things unfold, will you come back and talk about it some more?
Absolutely. Yeah, we'd love to.
Great. Thank you very much. Great having you guys here. Okay, friends, there you go. Now you have it. Now you have the information. What you do with it is between you and the Lord, but I would encourage you, get to rivercrosstwr.org or check them out on Facebook and then see what the Lord might have you do and get involved. Let's help them get across the finish line. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.